Hi, my name is Kurt Mortensen, and welcome to the Persuasion Institute. We know the world of persuasion, motivation, and influence is always changing, and we're always testing, perfecting, and upgrading the skills of great persuaders. I am the founder of the Persuasion Institute and author of Maximum Influence, Exponential Success, and Magnetic Persuasion. I have helped thousands of people achieve unprecedented success in both their business and personal lives. We have finally discovered the missing puzzle piece, and we've cracked the code to dramatically increase your income, improve your relationships, and help you get what you want, when you want, and win friends for life. Learning how to persuade and influence will make the difference between hoping for a better income and having a better income. Ask yourself, how much money and income have you lost with your inability to persuade and influence? Think about it. What's your number? Now, I'm sure that you've seen some success, but think of the times you couldn't get it done. Has there ever been a time when you did not get your point across? You were unable to convince somebody to do something? Have you reached your full potential? Are you able to motivate yourself and others to achieve more and accomplish their goals? What about your relationships? Have you ever had a time when you couldn't convince your boss or convince your coworkers? And face it, every day there are times you can't get yourself to do the things you know you need to be doing. Self-persuasion alone is priceless. Now, this includes success mastery and personal motivation, the ability to get yourself to do the things you want to do when you don't feel like doing them. What skills or techniques are you lacking? One thing we've learned at the Persuasion Institute is we need to help you with all the tools. We need to work on the whole person. We know everything you want in life, you need to persuade to get. And usually what society teaches us is not necessarily correct. They think force or coercion or rewarding people is the way to go. Many people are using what we call military management, do it or you're fired type scenarios, which is short-term compliance, but we want to talk about long-term influence. We create persuaders. We have learned how people think and what influences them to buy and what makes them take action. Invest some time with me and I will teach you the techniques and show you the new future of persuasion, motivation, and influence. One of the best ways I can help you is to find out where your persuasion skills rank. We collect information from all over the world at the Persuasion Institute to better understand how persuasion works, what's happening in the marketplace, and what areas you need to improve. What you need to do is right now go to magneticpersuasion.com and fill out the Persuasion IQ today, and we'll be able to help analyze your skills and see where you rank and see what areas need improvement. I have been studying persuasion influence for the last 15 years. I teach it on a university level, and it fascinates me to understand why people do what they do, human nature. And I study persuasion because I've been in the world of sales. I know what it is. I know what it's like not to have the right skills. Because when I had my first job in persuasion, I didn't get it done. I talked to a lot of people, made a lot of friends, but I couldn't get them to take action. And I soon realized that with everybody I talked about and every job that I've ever had, it's all about persuasion, motivation, leadership, and influence. And many times we're not getting the results, the revenue, or the respect from the people around us. This is why persuasion and influence is a critical skill. And as we study and research the ultra prosperous, we find the common skill is the ability to persuade and influence. This is the most important skill, but we find an interesting paradigm. It is the skill people work on last. As we pursue our wealth or want to work in real estate, set up a website, market a book, convince our children, motivate coworkers, start or grow a business, sell a product or service, what happens is we don't see much success, or we hit rock bottom and realize how much money has been lost, how many relationships have not been saved, how many people we could not convince to our point of view, then we study human psychology and persuasion. It's like buying a car without an engine. What is going to start your engine of success? You can learn all the tools in the world, get all the degrees offered at the local universities, but until you can understand human nature, motivate others, energize, and persuade people, you will be left behind. We want to give you these tools, change your world, and help you take your income to the next level. We all persuade for a living. Now think about this. What if you bought a small jet plane and you were so excited to turn it into a profitable business? You lined up some high-level business executives that wanted to use your services, and you were all concerned about getting a return on your investment, but you didn't have the time or the resources to get flying lessons, so you bought a book and told yourself, well, I'll figure it out on my own. How hard could it be? It couldn't be that much more difficult than driving a car. And then the first call comes, and they need a flight to Florida. But you forgot one crucial skill. You don't know how to fly a jet plane. Again, you say to yourself, well, how hard can it be? I'll read through the book and the manual, and I'll get ready to take off. Time is tight, and you don't have time to check the plane or see if there's gas in the tanks, and you just prepare yourself to take off. The consequences would be devastating. And many treat their future this way. They're so excited to do things that will return a profit, they forget to work on themselves and learn the tools necessary to make their life successful. I'll admit it, I made the same mistake. That's why I study persuasion, motivation, and influence. I graduated from college, went off to get a graduate degree, figured I knew enough to be successful in business. And then there comes a reality check. School, society, life did not teach me what I needed to know to be successful. And many fall into this trap. Because I know we all want to be successful and improve our income and learn the right skills. That's why this is a foundation of success. And the deeper the foundation, the more you learn about persuasion, motivation, influence, the bigger the success. I remember talking to a gentleman on an airplane, and he ran into the same challenge. He went and got his graduate degree. He did market research on this great new product. He found a venture capitalist. Everything checked out. Things are going to be successful, but the inability to connect with people, the inability to persuade and get others to believe in his ideas and his services, he didn't see the success that he deserved. It's like telling your grass, hey, if you grow, I'll give you water. It's the exact opposite. The foundational skill, the first things you should be learning is persuasion, motivation, and influence. These mistakes have cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. I bet even millions of dollars. The times I would say, well, I'll just figure it out on my own, and jumping into business without the right skills, that is why the Persuasion Institute was founded. Many people are out there struggling. Now, they were working hard. They were putting in the hours. It's like those old-fashioned pumps. You see it on those abandoned farms that you have to pump up and down, up and down. People get out there, and they're pumping and pumping. They're working hard, but they're forgetting to prime the pump. They're forgetting to sharpen the knife. You've probably heard it, that dull knives work the hardest. It's not working hard. That's a great asset to have. It's using the right tools. It's having the right skills. So when you come into a situation, you know what to do and how to do it. The Persuasion Institute was founded over 15 years ago. You know, I was frustrated with persuasion and sales training. I had been through just about every major persuasion training course on the market, listened to all the tapes, read about every book I could find on persuasion, motivation, and influence. And I was teaching it at the university level, and the textbooks were far from educational. Now, they were all great. The courses, the tapes, the books, the university classes, they all had something to offer, but it did not give me the comprehensive understanding of the world of persuasion and influence. Each one had a few nuggets of wisdom, but I was looking for the gold mine. Research shows the old-style techniques of persuasion and influence had lost their effectiveness. So after tireless research and application, I found the answer to persuasion and influence. Now understand, high producers do specific things that low producers don't do. And I used to think you could be successful by just reading the book. And that is a great start. There's some great information there, and I believe in reading the books, but you need a little bit more than that. I mean, if you want to learn how to play basketball, you can read the book. You'll understand the rules. But if you look at Michael Jordan, the book wasn't enough. I don't even know if he read a book. He went out and found a coach and found a mentor. Because there's two ways to learn in life. You can learn by trial and error, or you can learn from somebody else. Success is found in the practice and the proper application of the right techniques. You know, success is an open book test. The answers are there, and that's what I want to give you. Because great persuaders have the right tools. And I want to give you a new set of tools because one size does not fit all your prospects. You can't force all of them into the same mold and use the old school tactics. Why? We know persuasion has changed. In the past, we did not know how our consumer thought, what persuaded them to buy or take action. Most people in sales and marketing were shooting in the dark. We hoped or guessed what we were doing was working. Sure, it worked some of the time, but I hope you're not happy with that success rate. In fact, Dr. DiMaggio of Harvard University said, "We've learned more about the human brain and psychology in the past 10 years than we have in the entire history of psychology and neuroscience." Persuasion and influence is an art and a science. First, you must understand persuasion and influence has changed in the past 20 years. Your consumer, your prospect, your customer has changed. They are bombarded with over 5,000 persuasive messages a day. Your prospect is more educated and more skeptical than ever before. If you try those old-style techniques, you will lose sales. You will lose prospects. What good is a sales tool that only works part of the time? Imagine if the brakes on your car only worked part of the time. So let's explore what I call magnetic persuasion. This will cause others to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it. Now, this research is based on breakthrough study, application, and research. This is cutting-edge information. This is high-content material. You will find no fluff. The key is to have the right tools, and the more tools you have, the more persuasive you become. Now, there's a big difference between persuasion and influence. Persuasion is what you do when you say. Influence is who you are, your credibility, your trust, your charisma, your passion. Now, the best way to convince somebody or to change somebody's mind is through influence, because who you are. You ask them to do something, they do it because of who you are. They don't need proof. They don't need statistics. They don't need features. They don't need benefits. And that's what you need to work toward to become a great persuader. But again, times have changed. People don't trust you. When you think about it, on average, only 40% of the people you meet will actually trust you. Now, 40 years ago, people trusted you until you gave them a reason not to. Now, today, people don't trust you until you've proven it, you've given them a reason to trust you. That's the difference. That's one of the reasons persuasion has changed. You've all seen great persuaders in action. Again, it's who you are. You've seen the presence of some people that automatically attracts everyone to them. Wherever they go, people immediately are captivated and influenced by the radiant energy and their dynamic personality, and they want to be persuaded by them. Most people wear a badge that says, "Convince me, help me make a decision. There's too much information. I need somebody that I can trust that will help steer me in the right direction." And when you talk about persuasion and influence, these skills can and should be learned. So what are we going to teach you? You need to learn how to read people instantly, know what they're thinking and feeling, and what direction you should take with your persuasive presentation. Help people instinctively like and trust you. People will be persuaded by others they like or can connect with. Understand the four secret motivators. Get yourself and others to take immediate action. I want you to learn how to apply the 12 laws of persuasion and how to customize each law to each situation. And I want you to learn the 18 most powerful words to use. Understand your words can attract your prospect or repel your prospect. Our study shows that one word alone can change your response rate by 20%. You will discover persuasion techniques known only by the top 1%. These tools will give you power and control of your life. You will be able to engineer persuasive presentation, get others to take action, and seal the deal. To sell, negotiate, and market with precision, passion, and power. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a prospect that you were working with and you knew they needed your product, service, or idea? They wanted your product or service. They could afford it, but they didn't buy from you? What happened? It was a perfect fit for both parties. As a magnetic persuader, you will understand your prospect's mindset and the decision-making process. Do you want to know why your prospects aren't buying from you? There are three R's, or three things you need to understand if people walk out that door and don't purchase from you. You will learn the three R's of resistance. It's probably even happened to you. You walk into a clothing store, you need some help to buy a shirt. Somebody comes up to you and says, "Can I help you?" And your knee-jerk reaction is, "Oh, I'm just looking." You needed help. You wanted help. You're willing to purchase a shirt that day. So you need to understand that 95% of the decisions we make, things that we do, are a subconscious trigger. What we have found through research is most persuaders are only using 3 to 4 persuasive techniques. Even the highest paid persuaders are only using 7 to 8 persuasive tools. What a waste of talent. Do you realize as you look at the piano of persuasion, you are playing chopsticks when you could be learning the skills, be playing Mozart? There are over 100 tools, techniques, and strategies you can learn to customize your persuasive presentation. And you don't need another closing technique. What you need is to become magnetic. So let's tune your piano of persuasion. Because you've all heard the adage that if you're a hammer, everyone is a nail. You can't treat everyone exactly the same. You have to customize a presentation. You have to read the customer. Imagine if the only tool your dentist had was a hammer. Think about it. As you master the art and science of persuasion and influence, you'll find there are many camps out there. You have the NLP camp, those that believe that neuro-linguistic programming is the key to success. Many believe it's all about the closing skills they learn from trainers like Tom Hopkins or Zig Ziglar. And others believe Dale Carnegie's people skills are the way to go. Some people think we should use force. Some think incentive and rewards. Some feel we only need to work on trust. Now, all these camps work to a certain degree. They are all a small piece of the persuasion pie. Understand that to become a great persuader, you must learn the whole pie of persuasion. Yesterday's sales training no longer applies in today's fast-paced, educated environment. Your prospect does not want a product pusher or those cheesy one-liners. Magnetic persuasion is about creating customers for life, not getting that one quick sale that could turn into a refund or a dissatisfied customer. And magnetic persuasion is the most complete study of persuasion and influence in existence. It is based on 15 years of collegiate study, application, and observation, based on hundreds of books and thousands of studies distilled into one complete source. There's a big difference between presenting and persuading, and a big difference between communicating and convincing, and a huge difference between generating interest and being able to influence. Anyone can spit out a list of features and benefits and show off their product or service and push their products on people. With magnetic persuasion, you become a magnet. Just like a magnet attracts metal filings, you can attract more customers and obviously more sales. You will get customers to beg for your product or service. Magnetic persuasion reveals the 12 laws of persuasion. Each one will exponentially increase your success rate. We'll also spend time talking about the 10 characteristics of influential people. Remember, influence is a higher form of persuasion. People are moved to action by who you are instead of what you say. You need to understand the 5 power structures. Now, power magnifies your ability to persuade and influence. And there's the 4 different types of motivation customized to each individual and each situation. Do you want to know what makes your prospect tick? That's what we're going to help you understand. I want you to feel more confident in every persuasive situation. Know how to handle each prospect and dramatically increase sales. Everyone is not a nail. Don't use a hammer on every person. Don't rely on the old, outdated techniques. Your prospect won't fall for those anymore. Magnetic persuasion is the most complete training system on persuasion and influence ever developed. I only wish I had this kind of information earlier in my career. Do you want to learn from the master or the school of hard knocks? Now, the first thing I want you to do is fill out your persuasion IQ. Let's see where you're starting. I want to see where you rank and where you need to improve. Go to magneticpersuasion.com and fill out your persuasion IQ. And I also want you to listen to this excerpt from a live persuasion seminar. I want to help you understand just one of the keys of the piano of persuasion and the power of persuasion influence. This is called dissonance. It's helped you create internal pressure. It helps people persuade themselves. Again, you want others to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it. That is a key of a great persuader. So let's go on to the live seminar.
All right. Dissonance. This is the foundation of what we do. This is going to be a new concept for many of you. How many ever heard of cognitive dissonance before? Okay, a handful of you. Very important with the people that you work with, the people that you persuade. People feel an internal pressure to act consistent with their beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, and commitments. Have you ever been sitting down, getting comfortable, getting relaxed, and the son or daughter said, "But Dad, you promised. Mom, you promised." What does that do to you? It forces you, because that's a dissonance. You have this rubber band inside you that stretches that you made that promise, and the theory states that you can't live with yourself. If you've committed to do something, or if it's part of your belief system, or part of your religion, or part of any part of you, if you do something against that, you will feel dissonance. And it's an awkward, unpleasant, uncomfortable feeling, and it creates a psychological tension, and you can't live with it. You can't. If you believe that it's wrong to steal, and you steal a stapler from your work, you can't live with that, period. So what goes on in your mind? "Well, my boss is an SOB," or "that's not fair," or "it's just, yeah, he doesn't pay me enough anyway." And so we go through these thought processes, and this happens with your prospects too when they feel a need to purchase your product. So I want to give you different ways that happens. So it's very uncomfortable. You can't live with it. If you do something that you committed to do, you know, if your friend calls you up and says, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" "Oh, nothing. Great. Can you help me move?" "Oh." Right? You've already said it. You're not doing anything, so you're stuck. That's dissonance that you're feeling. You don't want to help them move. You'd rather watch the football game, that rubber band stretching. You're like, "Oh, okay." Or you create a lie, or you come up with something to, "Oh, I just forgot that it's my Aunt Edna's 100th anniversary." Come up with these different things. So let's talk about protecting the rubber band. The thought process that people go through when they feel that dissonance. Very important you understand this. Let's say you've gone to the doctor, just like your high school reunion we talked about earlier. You've been eating some food you shouldn't be eating, a little overweight, and the doctor says, you need to watch what you eat. Commit to me right now that you will no longer eat fatty foods. Okay, doc, I won't. I'll stop eating fatty foods. There's the commitment. Okay, 2 weeks have passed. You've been doing pretty good. But then you had one of those rotten days at work. Everything went wrong. There's a new ding in your car. You come home. Nobody's home. You're upset. You open up the fridge like you always do. And you open up the freezer. The light comes on. And there it is glistening in the corner. Ben and Jerry's. It's calling your name, right? I see all these things. Oh, I've had that happen. It calls my name all the time. So you start to reach for it. And what flavor is it? Chunky Monkey. We'll go with Chunky Monkey. You're reaching for the Chunky Monkey. And then the dissonance. It's that rubber band stretching. You made a commitment. No fatty foods. So the first thing you can do is denial. You say, that doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. He's kind of fat too. Who is he to tell me I can't have Ben and Jerry's? He doesn't know what he's talking about. I heard he was a bad doctor anyway, and I don't like how he treats me. And you what? The rubber band goes down. You feel okay? Bring on the Chunky Monkey, right? You're feeling okay. You gotta be aware. You go through this, you'll be amazed as I identify these. The people, your children will go through this too. The second is the reframe. You come home. This time it's Jerry Garcia. You're reaching for it. The dissonance, the rubber band stretching. And you say, well, what the doctor really meant was burgers and fries because that's bad fat. This is from milk. This is from cows. I grew up drinking this. This is good fat. This is okay. I can do this. Right? So you kind of retranslate what was said. Denial, you demean the source. Reframe, you just kind of deny, you know, just change it around a little bit. This is what he really meant. Burgers and fries. And so you can enjoy your Cherry Garcia. Then there's the search, where you go try to find other people that believe what you believe or would have done what you've done. And you go to the internet and you say, well, I saw this man from Wisconsin, and he lost 37 pounds on the Ben and Jerry's ice cream diet. My doctor doesn't. So you enjoy the Ben and Jerry's. Again, you feel that tension, that psychological tension, like, whew, right? And you guys are smiling because you do this every day. And your prospects will also do this too. Then there's a separation, right? The separation. We kind of compartmentalize. And we do this with our political leaders, don't we? Well, it doesn't matter what they do in their private life. I mean, that's compartmentalizing. You do that with ice cream, too. Well, he meant during the day, right? Because, you know, I'm eating, you know, salads during the day. I'm good during the day. He didn't mean during the night because it's what during the day is what really matters, not at night. So you kind of compartmentalize it. That's what the separation is. Anybody guilty of this? Yeah. You're like, oh, he knows what I think. Yes. You want the website? Yeah, we'll have to find that one. Then there's a rationalization, and this is what we're really good at, aren't we? Well, okay, you're reaching for the Ben and Jerry's brownie batter, what's it called? There's one called chocolate brownie batter dip something goulash. But then you're reaching for it. That tension, the rubber band goes, and then you're like, oh, well, okay, if I do 25 push-ups for each bite, then I'll break even and it won't matter and everything will be okay. Right? You feel better, the tension decreases, and you get your Ben and Jerry's. And the last one is what you're looking for as a persuader, the modify. The doctor told me I couldn't have fatty foods. I'm not supposed to eat fatty foods, so I'm not going to eat it. So those are the six processes that people go through. And it's important that you learn and master that and have, when these are potential objections for people too, because they go through the same thing. Because when people feel a need to buy your product or service, that tension goes up. Oh, have you ever been to a store and it's like, feel like you need to buy? And this is how people get out of that tension sometimes, is these forms of overcoming dissonance. Okay, does that make sense to you? Very important that you understand that. Let me give you some examples. Buyer's remorse is a form of dissonance. You know, you buy something, you're excited about it, then maybe your neighbor says something, you're seeing an ad, or he doesn't feel right. Has anybody felt buyer's remorse before? That's dissonance. That's exactly what dissonance is. Weight loss centers. Okay, how do they crank up the dissonance? They put a mirror in front of you, that'll do it. Get you on a scale. They have you commit to them that you're going to do it, and who do they have you tell? Everybody. You make commitments to everybody because they know that's going to increase your chance of success. One of my favorite studies is done by Knox and Inkster. This is done at a racetrack. And what they found is that it was at a horse track. They found out when you were standing in line, you weren't very confident with your decision. But once you've purchased your ticket and made that commitment, you felt much more confident about that horse was going to win. Now, what does this have to do with you? A great deal. This is important. So people feel more confident about their decision after they've purchased your product. So it's more important to get them involved. They don't need to know everything about your product, service, idea, or network marketing company. Get them involved, then give them the rest of the information. Does that make sense? Because then they'll feel more confident about the decision. Because this is what happens. Before you purchase, you're looking for reasons not to buy. After you've purchased, you're looking for reasons to stay in. And so you don't need to sit down and talk about all the different features, benefits, compensation plan, whatever it is. Find the one or two reasons that interest them, get them involved, and then fill in the blanks from there. Important safety tip. Remember that. And there's a study done on New York City, near a beach near New York City, in 1975, to find out about commitments and dissonance. And what they did is they came in, they had a couple people involved, and they would find somebody who was laying on a towel, and they'd lay down their towel about 5 feet away and set down a radio and walk off. And an accomplice would come and would say, and would steal the radio and walk off. So what percent of those New Yorkers are going to risk personal harm and chase the thief? 4 out of 20, 20%. Okay? I thought that's pretty high. Well, let's switch it around a little. Let's create a little dissonance. Put down your towel, put down the radio, you walk off, here comes the thief. Oh, before you walk off, you look to the person, what do you say? Sure! There's your commitment, here comes the thief, and then you're like, oh, go! Right? You made that commitment, what do? You distance, rubber band's tightening, 19 out of 20, 95% risk personal harm to stop that thief. Think about it. Very important. Get the commitment. Get the commitment. So there's three steps. So first of all, with a three-step application, get a commitment. Make their stand as public as possible. Robert Allen yesterday talked about making it affirmative to get as many yeses as possible. It stands for PEVE. I'll give you all four here. Make sure it's voluntary. You can't force them into dissonance. Because when you force somebody, then they have a way out. Well, they made me do it. And effortful. The more effort they exert in the commitment, the more it seals the deal. So three steps. This is just the first step. Get the commitment. Make sure it's voluntary. Again, there's no force here. There's no coercion. And there's plenty of effort involved. The more effort. You look at fraternity and hazings. Why do people go through that? You know, they've made the commitment. They're going to do it. That's part of the program. It's all part of dissonance. All part of dissonance. Blood pinning. Remember in the military where they put the pins right through their chest? Why would someone allow that? Why would they let that happen? It's all part of dissonance. And they made the commitment. That's part of the program. They meant that they're going to do that. Okay? Number two. You have the commitment. Now you create the dissonance. So you get the commitment. Well, so do you really want to be financially independent? Yes. Great. Here's the dissonance. Well, how are you going to do that? What is your plan to become financially independent? Well, I don't have a plan. You know, the rubber band's tightening. Rubber band's tightening. That's the dissonance. People feel an internal pressure to act consistent with their beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, and commitments. Dissonance. You want to get that rubber band to tighten, to realize this is where you turn up the pain. Help them realize that what they're doing, they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to get the same results. You're turning up the pain. If you don't look at your finances, if you don't look at your health, if you don't look at the various aspects of your life, this is what's going to happen. And number three, offer the solution. Your product, your service, your idea. So, get the commitment, create the dissonance, and then your solution, of course, your modify is the solution. Your product, your service, your idea.
Do you see the power of this? This is just the tip of the iceberg. We need to talk about the other laws of persuasion, the other keys to the piano of persuasion, about influence, motivation, and power, about human psychology, about the pre-persuasion checklist. Imagine being able to overcome objections before they happen, to know what your prospect is thinking and feeling, and you'll feel more confident in your ability to persuade. Imagine you will have the tools, the confidence, and the knowledge to understand and master each persuasive situation. Go to magneticpersuasion.com and fill out your persuasion IQ. Take action, change your life, improve your situation, improve your income, and I guarantee you, you'll be on the fast track to success.